And here we are. So, the aching tooth I'm talking about is that there was an attack again on the Eritrean community in Edmonton. This is one of several. They've been going on all summer, actually, as there's an international organization, obscure group, which practices violence. And they pledged to shut down, destroy, disrupt the Eritrean community. And the Eritrean community of Edmonton suffered. There was 11 people injured. People went to the hospital. I heard that one was an extremely serious injury. And we want to express our solidarity with the Eritrean community, which is being put upon, I'm afraid, not only by nefarious actors, this group, which the only name I've seen among them is it's called the Brigade Death. It is a, and they promised that they would shut down the Eritrean festivals, which are an annual legal event celebrated in various countries of the diaspora. And we had, of course, an attack on the Eritrean community here in Toronto on August the 5th. Now, this is the ugly part. That group, which has yet to be stopped by any authority, though all of the events had forewarning, and you know, Phil, there's the saying, forewarned, forearmed. But when you have forewarning and nothing happens, you have what we call a pogrom. We've spoken of it previously, August the 7th, on the Taylor Report, we talked about it. There have been pogroms in history, and they always have the sort of same outline feature, and that is that authorities knew that the terrible events happened. And I want to remind you, our listeners, that the group behind it, and I have to say they're obscure in the sense that nobody actually takes full responsibility, but they said they were going to do this, that they were going to attack the Eritrean community. The Eritrean Canadians are a part of the fabric of Canada and of Toronto. In every sphere of life, there are Eritrean Canadians contributing to the building of Canada. And by the way, to the defense of our freedoms. Now today, they are in the forefront. They're actually the vanguard of fighting for human rights in Canada because they had the human right. They even had authorization to have their events, as they have in the past, point out that, as someone said about the Toronto Festival, it is older than the country of Eritrea. They have been having this event. And when someone wearing blue shirts, carrying sticks, smashes their booths, sets fire to their tents, burns cars, assaults people, that's an attack on us. It is not an attack only on the Eritrean community. They are in resistance to this, in the sense that they're not being cowed or bullied. They're standing up for themselves. It's our turn to do our part to join them and to express solidarity with them. And I want to, on the August the 7th, on this show, we talked about it. This turns out to be a very peculiar matter. On this show, we mentioned that 90 years ago, there was a Christie Pitts riot, and that Jewish and Italian youth in this city were attacked by people with swastikas. By the way, to display a swastika, by the way, is to attack, which they did. There was a fight, and now everyone agrees we should celebrate it. It was a pogrom. And here's something I read about it. And by the way, you can find a book by Levitin Schaefer, and which documents this. The night of the riot, It was the second game between Harvard and St. Peter's. The two nights earlier at the first game of the series, the swastika had been displayed. Here's the line. Police were warned in writing there would be trouble at the second game. But those warnings were ignored. See, I suspect that was anti-Semitism and anti-blue-collar people, basically. And there was, at that time, a rise of fascism. So here we had the same thing happen on August the 5th. The community said to the authorities, our Eritreans have been attacked in Sweden, many people injured. By the way, 100 people arrested in Sweden. Note that, because no one's arrested here. No one. So Sweden, there was an attack. In Germany, there was an attack. And Tacoma, Washington, there was an attack. Ann Garrison has written about this. I suggest you go to Gray Zone and read Ann Garrison's report on that, because she was an eyewitness to the events. Now, these attacks were the leaders of the Eritrean community, and being Eritrean Canadians, and with a permit, had said, you know, there are some people who intend to deny us our rights by attacking us. And nothing happened. I'd accept that, pardon me, something happened, all right. The attack took place. So we're in a disgraceful situation. Now, here's the comedy part. The mayor of the city and a councilwoman have both commemorated 90 years ago. And the mayor said, 90 years ago, two teams came together to play a game of baseball, but ended up confronting fascism and hate. On Wednesday, I pitched the ball of the game to honor our history. We have a part to play in keeping our communities flourishing and safe from hate. I would say, okay, you're the mayor. The councilwoman said, let's continue to foster that solidarity whenever people are targeted by hate. They were targeted by hate. They had a permit. But the media have joined in with the attackers, actually. The media took this as an occasion to talk about the country of Eritrea. That has no relevance. This is a peaceful community holding an annual event. Where's the authority? Where's the follow-up? Incidentally, if you want the facts about where, you know, trying to understand this, go to, and I'm recommending this, Eritrea Canada, Twitter, Eritrea Canada. It's also eritreacanada.ca. We should remind the mayor and the city and the police that there was another attribute of the 30s that shouldn't be forgotten. There were people called who wore brown shirts. There were people who wore black shirts. In Hollywood, they had silver shirts. They were all anti-Semites and fascists. And they tried to take over the streets. They played the part of bullies. They would get together and attack who they felt like attacking. Now we have blue shirts. A gathering, peaceful gathering for a festival with a permit, who told the authorities there might be trouble. We, of course, expect to exercise our rights as Canadians to do what we do. They were canceled. The goal of the attackers was to cancel every single Eritrean event. And you know something? They got a perfect record. The authorities coming in after the attacks canceled every one of those. So people better meditate over what is going on under their nose. And we need to ask what people mean by multiculturalism. It should mean equal respect for all communities, equal standing, not some communities all of them, they will exercise their rights. And by the way, and as we all know, freedom is a somewhat compromised. You have to, if you want to march on Yonge Street, you have to get a permit. If you want to have a meeting in the park, you have to have a permit. Because the first thing the police will say when they show up, if you're there, is where's your authorization? If you don't have it, your meeting is over. So this is an annual event. It's been going on a long time. And it needs to continue. And it needs the support of every Canadian who believes in human rights. The media, to show how bad they can get, they turn to Amnesty International or resident sub-professor somewhere, Professor Dork, you know, Double Dork, or whoever, and they talk about Eritrea. That's not to the point. Here's the question people should put to Amnesty when they're asked about these things. Don't ask them about Eritrea, because this is not about Eritrea. These are Eritrean Canadians who have every type of political opinion, I assume. Ask Amnesty, what should we say about a group that brings weapons and breaks up authorized meetings by violence? What shall we call that? And is that not an attack on human rights? Ask Amnesty. I know they're supposed to know stuff. They're always being asked to tell us all about Yemen or tell us about some country that most Canadians are unaware of. And Amnesty will pronounce, and Human Rights Watch will pronounce. Make them answer the question. A legally authorized meeting, a popular meeting of a known organization with long standing in the community, is violently assaulted. Is that not an attack on freedom and on human rights? And if the attacker says they believe in human rights, isn't that a lie? That's a lie. The attacker is a fascist. That's the word for it. And silver shirt, brown shirt, black shirt, blue shirt. The ugly part is the connivance or that special form of ignorance that we say, there's nobody as blind as the one who won't see. And that's what we're dealing with here, are people who will not see, who refuse to acknowledge that the Eritrean community has had its rights violated by persons unknown who bragged that they were going to do it. And then the authorities canceled the meeting. One last thing on that. I remember telling people on August the 7th that would we be boasting if the mayor of Toronto 90 years ago had said, well, there's been a fight between fascists and Jewish and Italian youth, therefore, at a baseball game, therefore we won't play any more baseball? That would be the solution? Well, you know, there were children in a soccer tournament, both in Toronto and Edmonton, who didn't get to play because city authorities canceled them. That's what you told those children. You don't have a right to play soccer. Those who boasted they were going to attack you and did attack you got away with it. So this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5. We're going to be talking to Zafar Bengash in just a moment.